Because the gospel is for all, we certainly need to be revived again and again to hold up Jesus before people. And that is done by scattering and sowing the precious seed that we've been singing about this morning. We're thankful that you are here today to be a part of this service, to worship God, and to consider with us some matters that we believe to be very important. We talk about gospel meetings. Some people refer to them as revivals. We mention campaigns and seminars and workshops and special efforts. Most of you are aware that today is the beginning of a very special effort for us here in our local work. Tonight, beginning at 5:30 with the singing and at 6 o'clock with the regular service, we will begin our fifth annual area-wide gospel meeting. There are 8 congregations of the Churches of Christ in Chester County. They, along with some that are just outside the county, will be working together again this year in what we believe is a very, very important effort. Brother James Thompson will be here to speak. Brother Gary McKnight will be leading the singing in the regular services. And yet, as we sang in one of the songs earlier today, it is the name of Christ that we want to lift up before people. Those of us who preach, those who lead singing, those of us who work in any capacity are just a part of the team to hold up Christ to this community and to help people see that the gospel is really for all. Because tonight through Wednesday night is a very important part of our work and a very important time in our work, I have chosen this morning to talk to you for a few minutes more than to preach, to talk about the concept of the gospel meeting and other special efforts that are involved in the work of the church. In Acts 16, 4 and 5, the Bible says that the people then went throughout the areas delivering decrees for to keep. Another way of saying preaching the gospel. And the next verse says that the churches were established or strengthened in the faith and increased in numbers daily. As they spread the word, the church grew and individual Christians grew. We believe the same thing can happen today. This congregation has been and is involved in special efforts for the cause of Christ as much as any congregation I know. A group of our young people, along with 5 adults, returned last night about 4:30 or a quarter till 5 from a mission vacation Bible school in East Tennessee. I would imagine that between 20 and 30 of our men who are members of this congregation or whose families are here this morning are somewhere at this very time preaching the gospel. I know one of our elders, Brother Wilcoxon, is up at Lamoslamac today. Many of the Sundays, Brother Oldham, who's here today, is preaching, even sometimes in other states, driving to preach God's word. Kevin Kane, our associate minister, was here this morning at the first service and left immediately to go to Bemis. They called, and the preacher was sick. He's gone there to preach today. I'll be leaving Saturday afternoon to go to southern middle Kentucky for a gospel meeting next Sunday through Wednesday. If we had a list and took the time to list all of those from the congregation here who are scattered around the world today in campaigns and in other ways preaching the gospel, I think that list would be rather lengthy. We are involved in special efforts for the Lord's work. And I'm extremely thankful to be a part of a congregation who places emphasis on what is perhaps our number one goal of evangelism, our number one work of carrying the gospel to the whole world, including here, and as far as we can take it in other places. To help us to put this idea in focus, I want us to think this morning for a few minutes about special efforts in preaching the gospel and doing other things that are associated with preaching the gospel. We're going to look at 3 things. Number one, let's look back to the Bible. See what took place in the early history of the church along these lines. Number two, let's think about what has happened in the past. And number three, let's think about what's happening today and can happen in the future as far as special efforts are concerned. Now, we're involved in regular activities in the Lord's work. We have regular services, at least services that are at a specific time on the Lord's Day and at other times. You and I are here usually every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I wish I could say that about all of us at least. In our regular services to study God's Word, to teach God's Word, to worship God. To some extent, we may be involved in regular activities where we reach out to teach the gospel in this community. Certainly, we are in mission work. There's seldom a Sunday that goes by that we don't say something in our prayers about our mission work in Brazil, Argentina, New York, other places where we are involved in preaching God's word on a regular basis. But in addition to those regular activities in which we are involved locally and around the world, we are definitely involved in some special efforts. And we are not unlike New Testament times. Look at the missionary journeys of Paul. If you begin looking in about the 13th chapter of Acts, you'll find that Paul and Barnabas and others with them, evidently sometimes a rather large company of people, would go out to establish congregations of the Lord's church in different places. They would go and stay for some period of time. We're not always told how long, maybe a few days, a few weeks, in some instances a few months or a few years. But they would go into an area and preach God's word, to preach that gospel which is for all, convert people to Christ, and establish a congregation of God's people there working in that area, and then leave them and go on to another place and preach the gospel. A part of those special efforts were to establish and to begin congregations of the New Testament church. But if you read on just a few more verses, when they began to backtrack on that first missionary journey and then go out on some others, another work is being done of confirming the churches that are already in existence. If you read especially along about verses 22 and 23 of Acts 14, you'll see that this is what Paul and Barnabas were doing. And they were not only confirming and strengthening, and this would fit into that reviving idea of these congregations, but they were appointing elders. They were helping them to get local leadership to where they could go on in the Lord's work. And that was a part of their work. Here's Paul and Barnabas and others going out in a special effort to confirm the churches and to help them to grow. We have several instances where seemingly their main purpose was to teach. You'll find places where it says that they went into the synagogues for three Sabbaths in a row and taught many people. On other occasions, they went into an area and stayed there for maybe several weeks and taught people about Jesus Christ. One of those very familiar passages of Acts 11, where we're told in verse 26 that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The Bible says that Paul and Barnabas came here to Antioch and they stayed for the space of a whole year and they taught the people. That was a part of the work that they were doing in this specific case. We have a place where he stayed for 2 years in the 19th chapter in verse 10. I think we could even say that Paul conducted some elders' workshops. In Acts 20, he called the elders together from the church at Ephesus. And he talked to them about the problems they were facing from without and the problems they were facing from within. And worked with them and prayed with them and encouraged them to be the kind of leaders that they ought to be. It's rather interesting to find in a study particularly of the book of Acts that in Bible times, in the early history of the work of the church, there was always the need of some special efforts. Go into an area to establish a congregation. To confirm it and strengthen it and help it to develop the right kind of leadership. And to go into a specific area to deal with a certain problem or some problems that existed, like Paul with the elders at the church at Ephesus. So this idea of having special efforts in the Lord's kingdom is older than we may even think. It goes back to Bible times itself. And we have ample proof in God's word that it is right for a congregation of God's people or congregations of God's people in working together to plan those efforts that will help us to take the gospel to the whole world, to revive us again, to uphold Jesus Christ as the Savior, and to sow the seed of the kingdom. And efforts like this have been going on for years and years. Some of you that are in the audience this morning who are a bit older than I am can remember when gospel meetings were at least 2 weeks long. Someone was telling me not long ago about several years ago, there was a gospel meeting not far from here that lasted for 3 months. Some of my fathers and grandfathers and others have told me about some of the old-timey preachers who came across the mountains and the Cumberland Plateau into Middle Tennessee, some of them on horseback and wagons, would come into areas and set up a tent or a brush arbor, really was what many of them used back then. Bring out the people and teach them and start a congregation of God's people in that area. Some of the churches, including this one, many of those where you and I may have formerly worshiped, were started under circumstances not unlike Paul's missionary journeys, where gospel preachers and others came into the area where the church was not known and began teaching God's word and converting people, and the same thing is happening today. Within the last 2 weeks, this pulpit has had those in it, especially Brother Whittle, talking about the work in the Soviet Union, and how efforts are going there. People are going in and establishing congregations, and as he and others go back, and we're involved in the work in other ways, going into some other areas to teach the gospel and establish congregations of the Lord's people. And there are areas in the world today where that needs to be done. In our area, that's not the greatest need. I'm not for sure that we need to start a new congregation anywhere within several miles of where you and I are meeting this morning. But what about the strengthening of the church and the working on leadership and having better gospel preachers and better elders and better Bible class teachers and better Christians to where we do a better job and we're revived again and again in the Lord's work? We certainly have that need in our time today. Need to be doing more perhaps than we have ever done along that line. I do not claim to be an expert or an authority on the subject of gospel meetings, but I do claim to be somewhat knowledgeable and experienced. When I start a meeting next Sunday morning, it will be number 353 for me. Conducted my first gospel meeting in 1960, and I've preached in 352 gospel meetings. I have preached when there was just a handful of people. I have preached when there were thousands. I've had the experience of going into a place, one in particular comes to mind, where the meeting was in an old school building. We started out on Monday night with about 45 people and ended on Saturday night with 150. Had 19 baptisms and 7 restorations in a week. I think back to 1964, as I look at my records, there were 82 baptisms in the meetings that I conducted that year. Last year, there were fewer than 10. Things have changed. Our approach may need to be changed, but the need for preaching the gospel and reviving the church has not changed. In most of the instances today, when I go for a gospel meeting, I'm preaching to the church instead of outsiders. Now, sometimes this is not the case. I was in a tent meeting, as you know, just a few weeks ago, and we had several from the community who came. I remember a tent meeting back in the 1960s at Chestnut Mound, Tennessee, where we pitched a tent, and on a Sunday night, about 15 congregations dismissed their services. We all met under that tent in an area where there was no church. At the end of the week, we baptized 3. We'd found 3 more members in the area. We started a congregation. That congregation is meeting today. But we're not doing as much of that as we are strengthening the church in our gospel meetings. For the last 5 years, while I've been working with you, I have preached more on the family in gospel meetings than any other subject. The second subject probably would be morals, and the third subject, the work of the church. It's not uncommon to get a call from someone where I'm to go to be in a meeting and say, we need you to talk about moral principles in this meeting. About 2 years ago, I think it was, or 3, I got a call to come to Murfreesboro. Or I'd already planned to go for a meeting, but a call to involve the teaching of morality and versus immorality in that meeting. They said, we want you to especially talk to our young people. I went in on Sunday morning, and the front seats where our young people are sitting here were just as empty as they could be. And I decided I don't have anything to lose. I'd ask all of the teenagers to stand. And when they stood, I said, now I'd like for all you teenagers to come up and fill up these front pews. And they did. I don't know whether they thought I was so big and ugly they didn't want to argue or what. But they came up and filled up those pews. And during the meeting, I said, now I'd like for you to sit here every time. And they did. When the meeting was over, I said, now keep doing that. I was talking to some of them the other day, and they're still sitting at the front. You young people here are having an influence as we tell other people about it. But during that week, we talked about morality almost entirely along that line. And I believe a lot of good was done. I received a call 2 weeks ago from a place in West Virginia where some of the liberal teachings is creeping into the church, and churches are having problems, and they said, we need you to come up here and preach and hold a meeting. I went to our elders and talked to them about it, and they approved, and I'm to go in the first week of October. Be speaking on a Friday night twice, Saturday morning twice, Saturday night twice, Sunday morning twice, and Sunday night twice while I'm on vacation in this gospel meeting to help them out. And so when I'm gone from the congregation here, and when Kevin's gone and others like this past week, we are out in special efforts, and by your supporting us, we may be doing some of the most important work that we can do, not because I'm the one preaching, but because you're supporting me and we're upholding the truth and we're going out to strengthen and to help congregations. And one of the biggest needs that we have in our present time with special efforts is to strengthen the church and to help the church see what they can do to go out and preach the gospel and help others. To give you an idea of how this works, I preached in a gospel meeting earlier this year. There were 2 baptisms and 1 restoration. 2 weeks later, I was talking to one of the people, and they said the next week after the meeting, we had 4 more baptisms. You see, instead of going in and having just a lot of conversions in the meetings now, our main purpose is to go in and strengthen congregations and help them to where they can reach out into the community and do the work that needs to be done. I enjoy gospel meeting work. I have about 50 meetings scheduled ahead. I'm in the process of setting a date for one in the year 2000. I may be white-headed by that time if I have any hair left. But I'll tell you something of which I'm extremely sure: the gospel will be the same in the year 2000 that it is today. And the gospel will need to be preached in that year just as much as it is today. Our approach may be a little different. We may have some specific needs that have changed. Just like from 20 years ago, where most of our preaching in meetings was to the outsider, today most of our preaching is to the church. But we still need those special efforts and those special gospel meetings. We're in an unusual situation here at Henderson by being next door to Fried Hardeman. We're involved automatically in several special efforts during the year. Lectureship in February, Christian training series in July, along with that, the Horizons program with our young people, other special efforts for the young people at different times, student lectureship in October, our area-wide gospel meeting in the month of August. In addition to that, we plan several special Sundays. We don't have gospel meetings for a week like we used to because of so many special efforts that we have here. We've decided to plan some special Sundays and bring in someone to talk on a specific subject for that one Sunday and use that to strengthen our work here. And I think it's working, and I think we're doing a lot of good. The elders allow me to be gone 5 Sundays a year in gospel meetings, 2 for vacation, and then to be involved in some meetings through the week as there is a need. Now, I don't know whether you'd stop to think about it, but you realize that in the gospel meetings that I preach and I'm gone from you, that I'm not out of the pulpit any more than I would be if I were at home. Kevin preaches twice a month. He and I coordinate it so that when he's preaching, I'm in a meeting, if I have one scheduled that month. I have not missed a Sunday since I have been here, with the exception of 1 or 2 times where we were between changing with the associate minister, but that I would have been sitting in the pew if I had been here. And I'm somewhere preaching the gospel in a meeting on those occasions, and you, through supporting me, are helping us to do an additional work in doing that. And in passing, I just want to take a moment to thank the congregation for the support that you give me and the encouragement that you give me in meetings like that. I think it's a work that's important. And when we'd have a need to go out and strengthen a congregation and to teach and to work with them, who knows how much good we can do as you support me and others in our midst who go out and help in these special efforts in other areas. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. It does a lot of good in the area here too. I don't see the annual gospel meeting that we have, the area-wide gospel meeting that we have here, with its main purpose to convert people from the community. I don't believe that's what's going to be accomplished by it. Now, we have done a lot to reach out. You remember the full-page ad, a teaching ad that we had in the newspaper this time. You'll remember that in one of the area meetings, we sent material into every home in Chester County and in this area. And that's a part of it as we reach out. But folks, the main value of this area meeting that we have is to strengthen our relationship between congregations and among Christians in this area. I'm convinced that's the main value that we're receiving. And it is working. We have a good relationship among all the congregations in this area. I'm present many times with those who meet in planning these activities, and I have an opportunity to listen to men from every congregation talk about what they're doing and how we can work together. And tonight, as far as I know, 11 congregations, well, 10 beside us, will be dismissing their services and coming to this building as we all meet together here tonight to worship God and to strengthen each other, yes, to teach the gospel to those who may not know it, but especially to strengthen the church and encourage us in the work to where the rest of the year we'll be better able to go out and do the work that we need to do. And you know, there's one thing that I just still don't understand. I don't understand how anybody who claims to be a Christian would not want to be a part of that. Now, I know there are things that hinder us sometimes beyond our control. But I just do not understand how anybody that claims to be a Christian and wants to be a child of God could have anything tonight at 5:30 and 6 o'clock unless it's something beyond their control. There are reasonable things, I know. But would have anything where they would rather be than to be with God's people, especially in a gathering such as we'll see here tonight, to worship God and to strengthen each other and to encourage each other and to teach the gospel. I guess if nothing else is involved, we ought to be like the old woman that I heard about during the Civil War. She was sitting on the front porch down in one of the southern states, and a group of the northern soldiers came walking down the road. She went and got her broom. She went down to the end of the path, and she started hitting every one of those soldiers she could with her broom. Somebody said, "Don't you know you're not going to hurt them?" She said, "I want them to know which side I'm on." That may be all she could do, but she wanted them to know where she was and that she was supporting what she thought was the right thing at that time. And folks, when it comes to the Lord's work, I want people to know which side I'm on. I want to be there and do what I can. It's going to be a little bit hard for me tonight. I don't have anything to do tonight but to sit on a pew. And that's the hardest thing I've ever tried to do. I like to talk, but I won't be talking tonight. I'm going to be a part of the audience. And every night this week, and I'm looking forward to being a part of what I believe to be one of the greatest efforts that we have in this area, of this area-wide gospel meeting of coming together to worship and serve the living God. What have we said today? Number one, they had special efforts to preach the gospel and to strengthen the church in Bible times. Number two, you and I have seen special efforts like this down through the years. And number three, it's still needed today. We don't have exactly the same approach today, exactly the same needs. Oh, we have the same basic needs, but I mean we need to strengthen the church maybe more today than we need to reach out to outsiders in our meetings and then go to reach out to those who won't come to the building. We may have to change our procedures and our methods and our emphasis, but the need for special efforts to preach the gospel and to strengthen the church and to bring people to Christ has not ceased and has not changed. The need has not changed. And so because of that, I encourage you to make your plans to be here tonight through Wednesday night, to be on time. As far as I'm concerned, if you get here anything less than 10 or 15 minutes before service starts, you're late. And after service, don't be in a hurry. Take time to talk to people, encourage one another, to meet new people. This is what it's about, in strengthening the church. An area-wide gospel meeting to work together. And also, if you're not a Christian this morning and a faithful Christian this morning, you need to do something this morning to have the right effect on the meeting that begins tonight. How are you going to be working for the cause of Christ if you're not in Christ? And how are you going to be promoting Christ to those who visit if you're not a faithful Christian? That's just another reason that we encourage people to be baptized into Christ and become Christians, to be restored when they're out of the right relationship with Christ. Not only to be ready to go to heaven themselves, but to be ready to teach others and encourage others in efforts such as these that we have. It's a wonderful opportunity to uphold Jesus Christ to the world, to revive us again, and to sow the seed of the kingdom, since that gospel is for all. And if you're not in the right relationship with God in Christ to do everything that you can to promote the cause of Christ, you need to do something about it by coming as together we stand and sing.